Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei. The Shira Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitz Weiss CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season, or last tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. And yeah, there's going to be another tax season coming up. We should be mentally prepared. That's true. There's a lot of taxes out there. So learning Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei. We were recently talking. The Masechta until now has been talking about the what makes a sukkah kosher, what makes the walls kosher, what makes the schach kosher, how big it has to be. Most recently, we've been talking about having your sukkah on a boat or in a tree or on an animal, or having an animal be your sukkah wall. And the Mishnah we just spoke about last week said about if the tree is the wall of your sukkah, whether that's going to be kosher or not. And the Gemara had assumed maybe it should be a problem because your sukkah wall has to be able to withstand a ruach mitsuya, a typical wind that's going to blow by, and the branches of the tree are going to flow back and forth. So the Gemara answered that it was the abileba hutza bedafna, that you reinforce the branches with some other branches to make it that it's not going to flow in the wind. And that, obviously, that is also Shayach Lamaisa by the canvas sukkah, because the canvas sukkah is maybe potentially could be flowing back and forth. That's a shayla to deal with. So that's this yisod of it has to be able to withstand a ruach mitsuya. And the Mishnah we're going to have on Chaf Hei is going to actually be a transition of the Masechta. We're going to stop talking about the qualities and characteristics that make a sukkah kosher. I'm going to start talking about the actual mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, starting off with who is going to be putter from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. We're going to start off, all right, Pomer had gotten into the middle of a question last week, so we're going to start from the beginning of that question, which is on the bottom of Chaf Dalet Amid Beis. It is six lines up from the bottom. Toshma. So we had just said that your mechitza, kol mechitza she'en yechol olamud beruach mitsuya ein a mechitza. And so now we're asking questions on that yesod. Tashma, ilan ha-mesach al ha'aretz. This is a tree that is the branches are curved over. It's kind of like a canopy, and you can like sit under the tree and be completely surrounded by the tree. So ein nofo gavoa min ha'aretz shlosha tvachim. If the branches curve over and go basically all the way to the ground, maybe a bit off the ground, but at least within lovewood, three tvachim of the ground. So maybe that branch that curves over should be a mechitza, make it into its own rishus. And this is talking about the nyane Shabbos. So metaltalin tachtov, you're allowed to carry under that canopy tree that's considered a rishus hayachid, and if it's going to be mutter to carry over there. And the Gemara is asking, based on that, amai haka'azil va'asi. But how is that considered a good mechitza? The branches of this tree which are going to flow in the wind, that's not able to withstand a ruach mitsuya, so it should not be considered a mechitza. So the Gemara gives the same answer, hasamnami da'avid le bahutza v'dafna. Here we're talking about where you reinforced it with other branches, and therefore it's not going to flow in the wind, and therefore it is going to be considered a kosher mechitza there for inyane Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "I hachi nitaltel bekule." If that's true, that you reinforce it, the Gemara is going to explain its question as we read along. If it's true that you reinforced it over here, that you actually came, you didn't just find a tree and say, "This is my mechitza now," and do nothing to it. You actually found the tree and then you personally went in and actively made it into a mechitza. So if that's the case, nitaltel bekule, I should be able to carry under this canopy tree, no matter how big it is, no matter if it's a small tree or a huge tree. It should be mutter to carry in it. But alama amar Rav Huna Bre Devi Yoshua, why does Rav Huna Bre Devi Yoshua say, ein metaltalin bo ela beis asayim, that I'm only allowed to carry under this tree that's considered a rishus hayachid if it is less than a beis sasayim? Beis sasayim is a large size of 5,000 square amos, and Rashi explains that there is a din midirabanan, that the Rabbanan said that, yes, generally speaking, a rishus hayachid is mutter to carry in, but there's actually, in some scenarios, there's going to be a limit on the size of what's considered a rishus hayachid. That they said that perhaps if a space is larger than beis hasayim, if it's larger than 5,000 square amos, that's going to be considered not a rishus hayachid, it's going to be considered a karmelis, which is a rishus rabamidu rabbanon, and you're not going to be allowed to carry if it's in a huge space that is larger than beis hasayim. That's a din dirabanon, and the caveat to that is that that's only true. It's only a problem if it's so big, it's 5,000 square amos that I can't carry in it. That's that's only true if it was not hukaf l'dira. If the area was not intentionally surrounded for the purposes of residential purposes in order to live in it. So if you surrounded it with mechitzos intentionally to live there, then I don't care how big it is. I don't care if it's more than 5,000 square amos. I don't care if it's small. Either way, it's mutter. Only when you didn't actively make it into something, you didn't actively make it hukaf l'dira for the purposes of living in it, then we're going to have this limit of the size of 5,000 square amos. So naturally, you'd say, when it comes to this tree, so trees, if you just read the simple case, there's a tree that was just here the whole time that happens to, on its own, bend over. So I would think that it's considered not hukaf l'dira, because I didn't do anything to it. I just found this tree here. So maybe that's why it says it should be subject to the 5,000 square amos. And our Gemara's question is, well, wait a second. We just said that you did do something to this tree. You didn't just find a tree and it's not hukaf l'dira. You actually went and actively reinforced it for the purposes of using this tree. Because you added hutz of a dafna, so it wouldn't be flowing in the wind. So now it's considered hukaf l'dira, and once it's hukaf l'dira, if you surrounded this area intentionally for the purpose of living in it or being able to use it, then it should not be subject to the limitation of beis sasayim. So that's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara answers, mishum dahave, now around the top of chav heim and aleph, mishum dahave dira shetash mishahol le'avir, because over here, the tree that we're talking about isn't really used for itself. It's not there so you can hang out under the tree with your friends. The tree is over here to protect the field that it surrounds. You have this tree that's in an area where you can use this tree to guard the field next to it, but this tree itself isn't supposed to be used under it itself. It's just there so you can guard the stuff next to it. And if kol dira shetashmi shehal la'avir in metaltalin ba ella base sasayim, that's not considered hukaf l'dira. Hukaf l'dira means I surrounded it with mechitzos and I want to live here. But over here, if you surrounded it with mechitzos, you reinforced it, but you're not even going to live there. You're just going to use that to watch the field next to it. That's not considered hukaf l'dira, and therefore that is going to be subject to the limitation of base sasayim. And now we have another question on this, on the same yesod of Tashma Shabbas Betel Shehu Gavoa Asara. Let's say when Shabbos began, you found yourself on a mound which was above 10 tefachim. The general issue that we're concerned with over here is the halacha of Tichum Shabbos. It's important to know where you were when Shabbos began, because that's going to be the place where you are Konesh Visa. That's your place for when Shabbos began, and your 2,000 square amos, your 2,000 amos limitation for Tichum Shabbos goes based on where you were when Shabbos began. So whatever Rosh Hashayachid you were in, is that's, you have 2,000 amos away from there to walk on Shabbos for your personal Tichum. So the case is, three different cases. Number one is Betel Shu Gavoa Asara. You're on a mound that is above 10 Tfachim. Who may arba amos ad Beis Sasayim. As long as it is less than Beis Sasayim. So it's 10 Tfachim high. That's considered its own Rishas Hayachid. That's one case. V'chein benaka shahu amok asara. Who may arba amos ad Beis Sasayim. Or similarly, it's a ditch in the ground which is 10 Tfachim down. That's also considered its own Rishas Hayachid. As long as it's less than Beis Sasayim. And then the important one for us. V'chein kama kitsura. V'shibolos makifo. You have this grain that's in a field, and shibolos, you have stalks of grain that are makifososa, that those are serving as the mechitza. So where are you when Shabbos began? You're in Rishas Hayachid. What's the Rishas Hayachid? It's an area that have these stalks that can presumably blow in the wind. That's what was surrounding your Rishas Hayachid, and so that's what the halacha says, that mahalich es kula vechutzala apayim ama. You can walk within that entire Rishas Hayachid, and you have 2,000 amos for Tchum Shabbos from there. But the question is on that third case, af agav de ka'azil va'asi. Your Rishas Hayachid was surrounded by mechitzos that were just stalks that can blow in the wind. That can't withstand a bruach mitzuya. Isn't that not considered a mechitza? The Gemara answers, hasam nami ta'avale behutza v'dafna. The same answer we had the entire time until now, that you reinforce those stalks with other branches, therefore it's not going to blow in the wind, and therefore it is going to be a proper mechitza. So we had the halacha by sukkah that it shouldn't be able to blow in the wind. It's also going to apply to Shabbos mechitzos for your Eruv and for Tchum Shabbos as well.
Is the concern actually blowing or is it uprooting? Because it seems to me like if it's on a car, it still has a status or some level status of permanence, even if it's still wavering.
Right, that's a good question. I think when I say wavering, it's because I'm thinking about the canvas sukkah shayla, which is where that's where the question still stands, even though it's pretty set in the ground, but it's going to wave when the, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good question to think about. Okay, so now, The one we've been waiting for. The Mishnah on Chaf Hei, which is going to transition into the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, or especially cool for us today, is going to discuss the concept of osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Right, the general rule that if one is involved in mitzvah, in a mitzvah right now, you're involved in mitzvah A, then you're exempt from mitzvah B. This should sound familiar to some of us because we had this exact, a lot of the Shaka Vatari over here is copy and pasted from Brachos Yad Aleph, where we had this exact sugya last Masechta. Good times, nice nostalgia. So there's a very important machlokas you've shown him to think about when discussing the halachos of osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. That's a machlokas right over here in Sukkah between Tosfos and the Ran. The motivating question is, okay, it sounds great. If I'm doing a mitzvah, then I'm pater from other mitzvahs. Well, I have great news for you. We're all wearing tzitzis. I assume we're all wearing tzitzis. We're being mekayim a mitzvah right now. We're being osik in the mitzvah of tzitzis. We should close our gemaras. You could turn off the recording. You don't have to learn Torah. A mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I'm being osik in the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. I can go do whatever I want. You can't do isurim. It's not osik mitzvah. You can't go eating a cheeseburger because you're wearing tzitzis. But maybe I should be able to say osik a mitzvah, patur min a mitzvah, since I'm being mekayim a mitzvah right now. I'm doing many mitzvahs right now. I should not have to go to. We should not have to sit on our sukkah on yantif. We could just say we're being kaim of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So it's machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran, and that's going to relate to how to answer that question. Tosfos say that when do we say that if you're osek in one mitzvah, you're exempt from the other mitzvah? That's when ef shar lakayim shnehem. I can't do both mitzvahs. If you can't do mitzvah B, then you're exempt from mitzvah B. But if you could do both mitzvahs, if you can do mitzvah A and mitzvah B, then you're not going to be pater from any other mitzvah. And so therefore, by tzitzis, you're not going to be pater from other mitzvahs because you're doing mitzvah of tzitzis right now. You can very easily be mekayim shnehem. So if you could do both, then you're not going to be pater min mitzvah. Only when iyashar lekayim shneiim, you're then that's when you're going to be osik b'mitzvah pater min hamitzvah. The Ran, however, in the back over here in our daf, the Ran says actually no. The Ran says that actually even when you could do both mitzvos, even when I'm doing mitzvah right now and I could do both mitzvos if I really try to. Even then, osik b'mitzvah is going to be pater min ha-mitzvah. So how's the Ran going to answer our question? If I could do both, I'm still pater. So I could wear tzitzis and do other mitzvos, but maybe I should still be pater. So the Ran says no, because the klal isn't osem mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. It's osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. If you're actively involved in doing a mitzvah, then you're going to be pater from other mitzvos. But you're not considered osik b'mitzvah because you happen to have tzitzis on. Or his example is you're watching someone's aveda to do ashavas aveda, and it's just sitting in your backyard. You're not being osik in the mitzvah of ashavas aveda, so that's not going to pater you from other mitzvos. But technically speaking, the Ran actually does hold that even when you could do both, you're not required to drop one to force yourself to do both together, even when Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem, you're still Pater Min HaMitzvah. The Ran does say, though, that if it's not too hard, then you should. So if it's not a big tircha, even the Ran's going to say you should definitely do both if possible. That's a very important machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran. The Ritva asks, why exactly do we even need to have this yesod of osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah? Like I'll say, we said like Tosfos, if it's e'ef shal l'kayim shneihem, if I can't do both mitzvos, then I'm pater from the second one. So what would I have thought? What was the Hav Amina? If I can't do both mitzvos, so it's physically impossible for me to do mitzvah B. The Torah expecting us to be superhuman and to do two impossible things at the same exact time. If it's impossible, it's e'ef shal l'kayim shneihem, what's the pasuk we're going to bring? What's the pasuk even telling me that you're pater min ha-mitzvah? So the Ritva says that it's going to tell us that it's usur to drop one mitzvah to do the other mitzvah. Not to say you're putter from mitzvah B, but it's usur for you to go and choose to be osik in mitzvah B when you're currently involved in mitzvah A. Which also relates to a question of, let's say you did. Let's say you're osik b'mitzvah, and you stop to do another mitzvah. Are you even yotze when you do mitzvah B? So let's say I'm involved in a certain mitzvah, and I stop that to go here to Kiyas Shofar. So was I even yotze to Kiyas Shofar? If I'm really pater min ha-mitzvah, so I just listened to Shofar, but at a time when I was pater. So maybe some say that you would not be yotze the mitzvah, and the Mishnah Berurah, I think, says you would still be yotze in that scenario. Let's start the Mishnah. We'll do another couple of interesting yesudos. The Mishnah says, Shluche mitzvah peturin min hasukkah. That if someone is involved in a mitzvah, or even perhaps on their way to do a mitzvah, then they are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. As our Gemara is going to explain, Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Cholin umisham sheyen petur minasaka. Another halacha: if someone is a chola or people who are helping the chola, then they're going to be pater from the mitzvah of sukkah as well. And ochlin v'shosin arai chutz la'sukkah. And another third halacha: you're allowed to eat and drink a snack outside of the sukkah. Those are three different halachos. We're going to focus today on the first one of osik mitzvah pater min hamitzvah. Going to be pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. And the next ones are going to come up on future davim. If you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, the first Rashi, Shluche Mitzvah, look at Rashi's examples. So Rashi says, Holche Bederech Mitzvah, that you're on your way to do a mitzvah, Kigon Lilmo Torah, like you're going to learn Torah, Ulahakbil Pnei Rabo, you're going to visit your Rebbe on Yantif, which is a mitzvah, Bilifto Shivuyim, and you're going to free captives. Which Rashi's three examples of Osek b'mitzvah. What's interesting is, example number one, Lilmo Torah, is not so pashit. It's not so simple. If you're Osek in Talmud Torah, because we're all learning right now, therefore we're pater from other mitzvos, there's a Gemara Moikatan, which is actually against that assumption. That's a very interesting Rashi to have to deal with. And the second example, Lahakbil Pnei Rabo, to visit your Rebbe on a regel, is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. And this brings the Aruch Liner to wonder, is it true, if I'm Osek in a mitzvah d'rabbanan, am I going to be pater from a mitzvah d'oraisa? One of the examples our Gemara is going to deal with is Lahakbil Pnei Rabo. That's not a din d'oraisa. So am I really going to be pater min a mitzvah when I'm doing only a mitzvah midir rabbanan? So one suggestion he has is maybe there's a halacha of lo sasser. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says to follow the dirabbanans. So whenever you do a dirabbanan, you're also being yotzei the d'oraisas as well. And so therefore, that maybe that's why yotzei for mitzvah dirabbanan is going to be pater min a mitzvah. He also suggests that lahakel pnei rabo, which we're not gonna have that today. But the Gemara doesn't just bring a no pasuk; it brings a pasuk from Nach. And a pasuk from Nach maybe isn't a mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe that's a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, so maybe that's why you'd be pater min ha-mitzvah. But that's some very interesting aspects of osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. So now let's dive in. What are the actual sources of this rule? Who says that osek b'mitzvah is pater min ha-mitzvah? So Gemara says, Mina hani mili. How do we know that if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're going to be pater from another mitzvah? This we had in Brachos Yid Aleph. The Tanu Rabbanan. B'shiftecha b'veisecha prat le'osek b'mitzvah uvelechtecha b'derech prat l'chasan. If someone is, this is talking about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, there's a mitzvah for all of us to say Kriya Shema when you are b'shiftecha b'veisecha, when you're at home, and which is to exclude someone who is involved in a mitzvah, uvelechtecha b'derech, someone who's on the road, which is coming to exclude a chasan. But I'm going to explain how that excludes that. And Rashi explains why we need two different exclusions over here. One's Osek B'mitzvah, and one is a Chasan, who's also just, isn't that just an example of someone who's doing a mitzvah? So Rashi and Gemara is gonna elaborate. The Chasan example is talking about someone who isn't actually doing a mitzvah right now. It's someone who is mentally preoccupied about a mitzvah that's going to come up later. That he's going to have the mitzvah B'as mitzvah with his new wife later that night. And so that is what makes him tarid. That's an example, not being Osek in a mitzvah right now and being pater min mitzvah. That's someone who is thinking about a future mitzvah, and that tirda in their mind is what's going to pater them from other mitzvos. That's an extra leap beyond Osek b'mitzvah. That's tarud the mitzvah, that they're mentally stressed out about a mitzvah, and perhaps that's going to also be pater min mitzvah as well. And the Braisa continues, Mikan Amru, Hakones Esha Besula, Pater, the Esha Amana Chayiv. That this rule of the Chasan is only true when he is marrying a Besula. Only then is there Tirta de Mitzvah, and he's going to be Pater Min HaMitzvah. The Esha Amana Chayiv, if he's going to marry a widow, then he's still going to be Chayiv in the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Gemara is going to elaborate. So the Gemara asks, my Mashma. So how exactly does this Drasha work? What is it about this Pasuk that actually excludes someone who's being involved in a Mitzvah? So Amar Rav Huna kederech. The pasuk says belechtecha baderech. You're chayev in Kriya Shema when you're on the road. So kederech, it's like the guy who's on the derech. Ma derech reshus. Just like the pasuk is talking about someone who's on the road not to do a mitzvah. They're on the road because divrei reshus. They're going to work. They're going to play basketball. So they're derech reshus. So af kol reshus. Only when you're going to do a reshus are you going to be chayev in Kriya Shema. La afuke hai dibe mitzvah asuk. As opposed to someone who's doing a mitzvah who's going to be pater from Kriya Shema. So it says you're on the road, you're chayev in Kriya Shema. What's on the road? On the road to do a mitzvah? No. On the road to go hang out with your friends, and that's on your chayiv in Kriya Shema, as opposed to on your way to a mitzvah when you're pater from Kriya Shema. The Gemara asks, well, who says that's what derech means? Milo askinan de ka'azel dvar mitzvah, the ka'amarachman olikri. Maybe when it says balechtecha baderech, it isn't referring to a guy who's on his way to work. It's referring to a guy who is going to do a mitzvah. He's on his way to tkiyas shofar. Maybe he is involved in a mitzvah, and still it says, the pasuk says, v'ka'amarachman olikri, that you're chayev in kriyashma. So maybe you're still chayev in a kriyashma, even when you're involved in a mitzvah. The Gemara says, no. Im kein lemakra besheves ubaleches. If it was talking about, no matter what kind of road you're on, if you're going on Devir Yeshus or Devir Mitzvah, it should have just said when you're sitting or when you're going. My Bishif Ticha, Uvalech Ticha, you're sitting, you're going, Beleches Didachu de Mechayeves, only for your own personal walking Devir Yeshus, Ha Beleches de Mitzvah, Petira. So if you're doing a mitzvah, if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, then you're going to be Pater Min HaMitzvah, you're going to be Pater from Kriyashma, and that's the source number one of Osik BaMitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. The Gemara asks, "I hachi afilu kones es ha'almana nami." If osik b'mitzvah is pater min ha'mitzvah, so the chasan example, why is it only when you're marrying a widow and not when? Why is it only when you're marrying a basula and not when you're marrying a widow? Even if you're going to marry a widow, you should still be pater min ha'mitzvah because you're considered osik b'mitzvah. So Gemara says, "No, kones es ha'basula tarid, kones almana lo tarid." There's only that tirid of the mitzvah. You're only mentally preoccupied and thinking about the mitzvah when it's a basula, but not when it's an almana. And Rashi and Brachos explains that by a basula, there are halachic ramifications if she is a basula or isn't a basula. And so you're concerned whether you're actually going to discover that she maybe perhaps isn't a basula, so there could be larger issues at hand. So that's why you're mentally preoccupied by a basula when you marry a basula, but not when you marry an almana.
Right. Or we need some kind of hekesh or some lingwood that says it doesn't only apply here, it applies everywhere.
Right.
So we said, okay, it applies to Kriyashma. Now tell me how it applies to...
Great question. I think I saw one of the Achronim say that Kriyashma is such an intense mitzvah. It's Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. Perhaps a paradigmatic example of a very serious mitzvah. Because it's literally us accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu as, as our Melech. And if you're going to be Osek in a mitzvah, you're Pater from that mitzvah. So Kol Shekin, you're going to be Pater from any mitzvah. Kal v'chomer, everything else, yeah.
So now the next question is, we said the Chassan is Pater because he's Tarud the mitzvah.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like cleaning for Pesach, many people are Tarud for cleaning for Pesach for weeks before.
Yeah. So I think the next couple lines are going to help that. What a segue. The Gemara says... Maybe whenever I'm a tarid, I'm mentally stressed about something, I should always be pater min ha-mitzvah, cleaning for Pesach. And maybe if my boat sank and I had a huge financial loss or I have a whole house to clean, maybe even then I should be pater min ha-mitzvah. And if you say, yeah, maybe Amiel's right and we're pater min ha-mitzvah when we're stressed about things that are not, as mitzvah focused, but Hamar of Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, but that's not true, because Abba Bar Zavda said, Avel, who is definitely very stressed, Avel chayev b'chol ha-mitzvos ha-amuros b'torah chutz min ha-tfilin shahinemar b'hen pe'er. And Avel, a mourner, is chayev in all mitzvos except for tfilin, which has a unique drasha which we're going to have on Amud Beis, because it's considered a pe'er, it's a glory. You shouldn't have something that's like a glory on your head when you're so not in a glorious state. So, but besides for tfilin, all other mitzvos he's chayev in, even though he's tarud. So our question is, why is it that by the chasan who's tarud b'mitzvah, he's going to be exempt, but by these examples, someone else who's tarud and can't focus, they're not exempt from mitzvos. Hacha tarid. The Gemara answers, Hacha tarid tirda de mitzvah, hasam tarid tirda de rishus. By the chasan, you could say it's a mitzvah to claim for Pesach, but I think you could say it's also a mitzvah to, there are certain avelus mitzvos as well. Rashi points out, let's just say it out. It's tirda de mitzvah. The chasan is tirda de mitzvah, and the guy whose boat sank, and even the avel, is considered tirda de rishus. Even though there are aspects of avelos which are not rishus, they are mitzvos, there are nihuge avelos, which are mitzvos that an avel has to do, but the tirda, that they are so uncomfortable that they can't even say kriyashma, that itself is a rishus. There's a yesod from the Rav which has to deal with, which he does deal with this inyan, because the whole the yesod of Soloveitchik is that when it comes to the nihuge avelos, It isn't just that you have mitzvos, you have to go through these motions and do this and do that. It's those are all in order to create a certain feeling inside of the avel. It's a kiyum shebelev. So according to this over here, we're saying that when the avel feels tarud, it sounds like that's considered a reshus. The fact that he's so tarud because of the loss, that's considered a reshus. But Rav Soloveitchik, his whole mahalach is that the uncomfortableness that the avel feels is part of the mitzvah. So he does deal with Rashi over here, which is seems to be unlike the Yesod. And I think the answer is that over here you're so beyond Torah you can't even say a paragraph of Kriyat Shema. Maybe to go that far that extent maybe is beyond the line of what's required. But that has to be dealt with. But either way, the Gemara's answer is that when it's a chasan, that's a tirud a mitzvah, but by an avel. And I would argue at Klinik Pesach as well that the stress isn't part of the mitzvah, and so therefore that would not be enough to exempt you from other mitzvos. That's source number one for Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah. And that's what we had so far in Brachos Yad Aleph, and now we're going to see a new source which didn't come up in the Masechta in Brachos before.
Does Avel mean owning, really?
Right, so yes, that's a... Yeah, so for an onin, so an onin's pater, the onin is in fact Pater Mena Mitzvah. Right, so maybe that is, it could be it's unrelated to this, but it could be it's because of the tirda of an onin. Right, but yeah, I think that's right. I think that's unrelated to this. So you should be able to be focused on the mitzvah.
There's an actual mitzvah there that you need to fulfill.
Right, but yeah, but I don't know if people say it's because you're being osek in the mitzvah of kavura that you're pater mena mitzvah. I don't know, maybe. Maybe someone says that, but I didn't think so.
I was wondering if he meant like, because obviously people who are avilim do wear, you know, they wear tefillin. Is it talking about the rest of time, non-davening times?
We're going to talk about where this extends. It's going to be day one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we're going to definitely be on a base. Okay, so that's the source number one for Osek Mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah. Now we have source number two. We are four lines, or five, the end of the fifth line from the bottom. The Osek Mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah, Mehacha Nafka. Is this Kriyat Shema really the source of Osek Mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah, Mehasam Nafka? It's really from the following source, by Karban Pesach. De Tanya, it says in the Braisa, Hayehi Anashim, Ashay Hayu Temeyim Lenefesh Adam. The Pasuk says that this is the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. There were people who couldn't do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach because they were Tamei Lameis, and so they went and complained to Moshe, hey, Lama Nigara, how should we miss out on the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? And so Moshe gave them the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. So Gemara asks, Osam Anashim Mi Hayu. Who were these people? Some unknown people, unidentified people came to Moshe and said, hey, we're Tamei Meis, why can't we do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Who were these people? What was their identity? The Gemara has a couple of suggestions. No se Aron Shel Yosef Hayu. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, these are people who are carrying the Aron of Yosef, and therefore they were Tamei Lameis when Karban Pesach came around. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishael Ve'Altsafan Hayu. This is in Chavheim Beis. That it was Mishael Ve'Altsafan Shahayu Oskin Benadav Ve'Avihu. That they were involved in the mace Nadav and Avihu. And that's why they became Tamei LeMeis. That was very close to Pesach. That was on Aleph Nisan, was when the Akamas HaMishkan happened and when their Avera happened and they were killed. Very close to Pesach. So they were Tamei LeMeis when Pesach came around. Therefore they were Pater from the Karban Pesach. And the Yesod that we're leaning towards is that they were osek in a mitzvah of kvuras hameis, knowing full well that they would not have time to become tahor in time for their Karban Pesach. So that's like similar to being osek in a mitzvah, because you know you're going to be pater from the future mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So two different answers so far. Who were these people? Were they dealing with Aron Shel Yosef? Were they dealing with Nadav Ve'Avihu? And the third answer, Yitzhak Amar, he says, no, I don't like the first two answers. Im no se Aron Shel Yosef hayu, if they really were carrying the Aron of Yosef, so kvar hayu yecholim litaher, they had time to become tahor. There was a long gap between Yosef's death and the first Pesach after the Mishkan was built. Why didn't they become tahor? They had plenty of time. And even in Mishal Val Tzafan Hayu, Yecholon Hayu Li Tahir. Even if it was Mishal Val Tzafan, not Aven Aviv, as we said, it was very close to Pesach. It was Aleph Nisan. But Rashi points out, we had the Parah Aduma on Beis Nisan. So we had the ability to become tahor Lemeis. You have a whole, you know, like 14 days, 13 days before Pesach actually starts. So you have time to become tahor. Why didn't they? It takes only 7 days to become Tahor. They have plenty of time. So rather, what was the case? Ella Oskin ben Meis mitzvah hayu. Rather, they were involved in a different mitzvah. Rashi says that someone's relative passed away, or there was someone who, there was a mace that had to be dealt with. Lav dafka, the typical definition of mace mitzvah. But there was a regular mace that was around that had to be dealt with. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's suggestion. And we even extend even further in another detail. Shechal shevi'i shalahen liyos pe'ere pesach. Not just that they were tamei lameis, but it's like just off. It's like just inconvenient enough to be able to miss the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, because the 7 day process to become Tahor ended right when Pesach began. It was Erev Pesach, and they weren't going to become fully Tahor until the end of that day, that night, when the Karban Pesach was going to be eaten. But they would be Tameh during the preparation of the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach itself. How do you know this is the case, that it was Dafka, someone who got Tameh a week before Pesach and they just missed the mark? Shene'emar v'lo yachlu la'asos ha-Pesach b'yom ha-hu. They could not fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach on that day. B'yom ha-hu ein yacholon la'asos ha-lamachar yacholon la'asos. These are people who couldn't do Karban Pesach on that day when Pesach fell out, but they could have done it on the next day. They just missed it. Their seventh day fell out on Erev Pesach. So they were still Tameh by the time the Karban Pesach was being created. So the Gemara's question is, we seem to have a second source for Osik B'mitzvah, Patra Menah Mitzvah. Over here, we have the people who became Tameh Lameis on 2 days before Pesach, knowing full well that they're going to become Tameh and not be able to become Tahor in time for Karban Pesach. Here, it's not an exact overlap like the Chassan who was Chayavin Kriyashma and has a mitzvah right now. There's a bit of a timeline here where you're becoming Tameh right now, earlier in the week, but you know Pesach's going to come up just a few days later, and still you're Patur Menah Mitzvah. You can do Mitzvah A, the Kvura, although it's going to make you unable to fulfill Mitzvah B, the Karban Pesach. So that seems to be a great proof for Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Menah Mitzvah. Why do we need the source from Kriyashma? B'lech Techa V'derech. So Gemara says, Tzricha, we do need both. Maybe if we just had the source of Pesach, I would say that the reason why you're pater from Mitzvah B is because Mitzvah B didn't happen yet. You're not chayiv in the Mitzvah yet. Right? Our example, you said you're going to be involved in the Kvura right now. There's no Karban Pesach right now. You're going to be involved in the Kvura on Yud Nisan. There's no Karban Pesach right now. There's no Mitzvah right now that I'm dealing with. So maybe over there we'll say you can do Mitzvah A, although it means that later on Mitzvah B is going to be unfulfillable. But maybe when both mitzvahs are right now, I'm doing mitzvah A right now, and mitzvah B also came up right now, maybe then I'm not exempt from the other mitzvah. So therefore, tricha, that's why you have to have also the source from kriyashma, where both mitzvahs literally clash at the same exact time, and still you're going to be patur. The Iashmuin and Hacha Mishum Deleka Kares. If we only had the source by Kriyashma, I would have thought it's only true by a mitzvah which does not have Kares. Right, the opposite of Amiel's question. Maybe it's only by it's by all mitzvos that are not so extreme, all the way up to Kriyashma, but other mitzvos that are even worse, that are even more chamur than Kriyashma, that have a chi of karis associated with them, like Karban Pesach, maybe being osik in a mitzvah is not going to be patur in a mitzvah that is a chi of karis associated with them, like Karban Pesach. So therefore, so you have the source also from Pesach, that even when the second mitzvah is a mitzvah that has a karis associated with it, it's a very chamor mitzvah, still, osik the mitzvah A is going to be patur from mitzvah B. That's why we need to have both of these sources, kriyashma, as well as karban Pesach. So now we'll pause for a second for my favorite ha'ara on the daf. I think this is a stunner. I think it's amazing. The Gemara seems unusually concerned about the identity of the people. Who are these people that became Tameh and are asking about the Pesach, that about having a Pesach Sheni because they can't do the Karban Pesach? Why does Chazal even care so much? Like, it's like we don't believe. It's like, oh yeah, someone was Tameh. Who was Tameh? Do you know them? Or did you hear from a friend? Like, we don't trust Chazal. Like, why is it so important to figure out the identity of these people? Who? There are hundreds of thousands of people. Someone probably died. I don't have to know who died. Someone died and wants to do their Karban Pesach, but they're Tameh. Why do I care if it was Yosef or it was not a Vaviyu? So the Tzlach has a beautiful answer. Rashi ala Torah points out that there are two places where Bnei Yisrael are counted. In Parshas Kisisa, and then a while later in Parshas Bamidbar, Bnei Yisrael are counted in two times. One of them was in Tishrei, and one of them was in ER, and the phenomenal thing is that the number is the same exact number, to a very precise. 603,550 people in Klal Yisrael were counted in Parshas Kisisa, which is in Tishrei, and the same number, 603,550, is also in ER. How, that's very unusual. How could you have the same exact number from Tishrei to ER? The number should probably change a bit. The Ramban is very troubled with this Rashi and asks many questions on this Rashi and has his own Mahalach. So Rashi is forced to say that nobody died this whole time. No one died from Tishrei to ER, and that's why the count has the same exact people, because no one died. Okay, so that's what Rashi has to assume. The Ramban asks on Rashi, no one died? What are you talking about? Read the Torah. The Torah says there are people who were Tamei Meis, and they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach. Tamei Meis sounds like someone did die. So Rashi's Mahalach, oh, the numbers are the same because nobody died. The Pasuk says that somebody did die. So Rabbi Akiva and Yosef Aglili say, no. Who died? Maybe Yosef died. Yosef died well before the first count. He's not going to impact our numbers over here. Yosef died a long, long time ago. And that's why they were Tamei Lameis. Or the other answer, Rabbi Kiva says, it was Nadav Abihu. Which Shevet were they from? They're from Shevet Levi, who was not included in the count. That's not going to impact the numbers from Tishrei to ER, because these are both situations that someone did die. You can read the psukim, but it's not going to impact your minion of Bnei Israel. That's
nobody was born?
That's my question. So the Ramban deals with this. The count only includes people who were 20 and older. So new people are not going to count, but the Ramban asks, what about a 19-year-old whose birthday is in Nisan? So maybe he's not going, he became 20. So Rashi assumes that the birthday for this count goes by Tishrei. It's a Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah birthday. So whoever was 20 on Aleph Tishrei is 19 on Aleph Tishrei is still going to be 19 by the time Iyar comes around. I'm not going to go by Me'es La'es of, oh, you have a Nisan birthday. It goes by Rosh Hashanah. That's how Rashi has to answer that question. But yeah, the Ramban asks all these questions and more and gives everything. I think the Ramban says that the difference was that the first count, you're right, people could have gotten older and people could have died, and that is totally fine. And the difference is that the first count did not include Levi, and the second count did include Levi. And so there could be differences that people died and people got off the count, but there are people from Levi that are Mashlim, and it ends up being the exact same number anyway. So that's around Ban's Chiddush.
Yeah, in modern and religious scholarship right now, in the last 75 years, the answer has actually been shown historically. It was actually one count, but from the time they started the count, the collection, to the actual completion of the count,
it took a long time.
It took about 6 months. Mm. They found that with other societies as well.
Wow, that's
so
great.
That's saying, so that's now become, like if you go to Gush and learning, they'll tell you, they'll teach you the Rashi and the Ramban, and they'll say, but historically, the answer probably is it was just one single count.
That's great. That's a great mahalach also. That's great. Yeah. Okay. So that was awesome. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Gufa. The Gemara now quotes what we had said earlier. Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Avel Chaya Bechol HaMitzvos, Bechol Mitzvos HaAmuros BaTorah, Chutz Mei Tefillin. As we had said, an Avel is Chayev in all mitzvos, even though he's Tarud, we said. He's still Chayev in all the mitzvos, except for Tefillin. Shehari Nemar Behen Pe'er. Because they are described as a glory. Mida Amalei Rachman Ali Yecheskel Pe'ercha Chavush Alecha VeGomer. Hashem told Yecheskel, when Yecheskel was about to be sitting Shiva for his wife, Hashem told Yecheskel, you should put on tefillin. And the implication was, Atu demechayaves, avakule alma petiri. That you, Yecheskel, you're a unique situation. For your avelus, you're going to have this weird thing that you are going to actually wear tefillin, but that's la'afuke everybody else. There are many halachos which we learn from the fact that Hashem told Yecheskel, you're going to have a weird avelus that you're not going to keep some of the halachos. So Hashem told Yecheskel, you're going to wear tefillin, as opposed to everybody else. You're going to be an unusual mourner. You're going to have a unique avelus that you're going to wear tefillin, as opposed to all other mourners who are going to be exempt from tefillin. Tosfos deal with when we say that. There are sometimes when Chazal say it happened to Yecheskel, so therefore the opposite is true for Avelim, and sometimes Chazal say it happened to Yecheskel, and therefore it's also true for Avelim, so that has to be dealt with as well. But over here by tefillin, Yecheskel was told, despite his Avelos, where tefillin, so therefore we are going to be exempt from tefillin in Avelos. V'hani, mili, when is this? B'yom Rishon. Only on the first day of Avelos, tichsev v'acharisa k'yomar. The Pasuk describes that the first day of Avelos is the most bitter. So during that very bitter period, that's when you're exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin, but not the rest of the avelus. And there's a, so there's this thing about the, if you have like the kvura, so like the moment after the kvura is going to be, that's your day one of Shiva. So if you think like a, an example, someone, there was a, the kvura happened at, let's say like 11 a.m. Or 12 a.m. So let's say the kvura happened that morning, you were in Onin, so you didn't do mitzvah, so you didn't put on tefillin, but now you just did the kvura, so should you now put on tefillin in the second half of the day? Maybe you're chayav in tefillin? No, the avel is going to be pater from tefillin if it's his first day of avelus. And there's a discussion in the post-game, whether it, maybe it has to be that it's also not only the first day of Shiva, but it's also the same day that the mace actually died. So maybe like the mace died at night, and then that morning he did kvura, so that's the same day, halachic day, of kvura and misa. Maybe that's only when you're pater from tefillin. But if you had, let's say the mace died at like 3 p.m. and the kvura was only the next day, so the kvura and the misa didn't happen on the same day. So that's a, there's a, an opinion, the maritats, that maybe in that case, you're still going to be chayiv in tefillin, and some are choshish for that opinion. But generally speaking, the first day of Shiva, you are pater from the mitzvah of tefillin. Avel chayiv b'sukkah. A mourner is chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah. Pshita, obviously, we have said he's chayiv in all mitzvos. Sukkah is an example of all mitzvos. So ma'udetema, hol ba'amar rav abba bar zavda, amar rav, mitzta'er pater min ha-sukkah. Since someone who's mitzta'er, who is in pain from mitzvah of sukkah, they're exempt. So hainami mitzta'er who? This avil is also in pain. He's in emotional pain. Maybe he should also be pater min ha-mitzvah. Kamash malan, hani mitli tzara de mimela. That's only, mitzta'er is only pater when the tzara comes from the sukkah. Maybe it's too cold outside, or it's raining, and you're mitzta'er from the mitzvah because of the sukkah, that's when you're pater. Aval hacha ihu hu dekam mitzta'er nafshei. Here by the avel, he's making himself mitzta'er from his situation, and he ba'ilei liyesuvei daite. He has to have the ability to control himself and his emotions to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah.
How can we have an avel during sukkahs? I mean, we learn in another Gemara that when you have the let's say somebody passed away 2 days before the holiday nullifies the avlos. So that's it. You know, when he's already in sukkahs, he's done an avl.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so maybe it's talking about shloshim, or you know, beyond the shiva, or someone who. Right. If the mace happened, it could be the.
You're still an avl. You're not doing avlos.
Right. I'm trying to. It's a good question. It's a good question. Rabbi Ava bar Zavda Amar Rav. Another din about sukkah. Chasan v'hashushvinin v'chol b'nei hachupa peturin min hasukkah. The chasan and the people who accompany the chasan and other people who are at the chupa, at the Sheva Brachos, they're all pater min hasukkah. Kol Shiva, the entire 7 days of the Sheva Brachos, my time on Mishum, the Ba'u L'michte, because there, this is like another example of Osek B'mitzvah, that they have to be the Simcha of the Mitzvah, and therefore they're going to be Pater from the Mitzvah of Sukkah, not just the Chasan, but the other people also who have the Simcha as well. The Gemara asks, V'lechlu B'sukkah, V'lechdu B'sukkah. Okay, that's not a stira between mitzvos. You can have your Sheva Brachos, or you can have the Simcha of, you can be happy with your new wife in the sukkah as well. The Gemara answers, no, ain't simcha ella b'chuppa. You only have true simcha when you're actually at the chuppah, so you can't have that true simcha in the sukkah itself. So that's why you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara suggests, okay, fine. V'lechlu b'sukkah, v'lechdu b'chuppah. Why don't you eat in the sukkah and have your simcha in the chuppah? So you can have your chuppah where you're with your kala, and you can eat your meals at the sukkah. You can do both mitzvos. The Gemara says, no, ain't simcha ella b'makom suda. The true simcha is only in the place of the suda. So you can't have simcha in a chuppah and have your suda in the sukkah, and therefore it's going to be a steer between the two competing mitzvos. The Gemara suggests again, b'le avdu chuppah b'sukkah. Why don't you just do everything in the same place? You can have your chuppah, which is the wedding itself, and maybe also the future Sheva Brachos and the chasan and spending time with his kala, that could all just be done in the sukkah. So you can eat in the sukkah and have simcha in the sukkah, and it's also your chuppah, and so you can do all the mitzvot at the same exact time. So why not do that? So Abaye Omar Mishum Yichud. Abaye says that it'll be a yichud problem. Rashi explains that their sukkahs in that time were typically on top of their roofs, which is very far away from society. And so if you have the chasan and the kala and a friend, and then the chasan goes down for a second, so you're going to have a problem of yichud with the kala and the other guy. So that's why they should not have their chuppah, right, all their like wedding-related simcha stuff in the sukkah, because that could create yichud problems. The Rabba Amar Mishum Tsar Chasan. Rabba gives a second reason why they wouldn't have their chuppah in the sukkah is because of tsar chasan. It caused tsar to the chasan, which Rashi says because it's not a very romantic setting, so it's not going to be able to be a nice place. Maybe there isn't enough privacy to be able to be with his kala, and therefore it's not the true simcha that he wants to have. My Beinayu, with a nafkamina between whether the problem is a yichud problem or a tsar chasan problem. Either way, they're not going to have their chuppah and their sukkah in the same location. Mara says, Ika Beinayu, the shchichi inshi de nafki ve'aili. There are a lot of people who are constantly coming in and going out, so therefore there's no yichud problem. Lahasam lahasam. Lamanda amar mishum yichud leka. There's no yichud issue because there are people who are walking in that area. They're going up and down by the sukkah as well. Ulamanda amar mishum tsar. But there's still going to be tsar chasan because it's in a very inconvenient location. And so that's why the chasan is pater from sukkah. Amar Rab Zera, Rab Zera gives a personal account. Ana achli besukkah, the chadi bechuppah. I ate in my sukkah and then went later to my chuppah and had simcha in my chuppah and I was able to be mekayim in both mitzvos. And don't say that, oh, I didn't have true simcha because I wasn't in the same place as my seuda. The kol shekein dechadi libayi dekaavidna tarte. I was even more besimcha because I was able to be mekayim both mitzvos, chuppah and sukkah. That itself gave me the extra simcha that I may have been lacking from the fact that I was not having my chuppah in the seuda in the same exact location. So we'll stop here. We end first. Discuss the end of this sugya of having a sukkah mechitza that's going to blow in the wind, and I have to reinforce it with branches. We then moved on to the very interesting topic of osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. We brought source number one for this yisod from Kriyashma, source number two for this yisod from Karban Pesach, and explained why both of those sources are necessary. We then discussed the various other halakhos that had come up, that an avel is going to be pater from tefillin, an avel is going to be chayav in sukkah, and a chasan is going to be pater from sukkah.
Use that.
What?
Use that as a.
Oh.